In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the parable of the rich man Lazarus, we have a very striking image of destitution in Lazarus before his death. We don't see that kind of poverty typically in the United States these days, although there are still people around who can remember the Great Depression, and there were people who were starving to death at that time. And if you knew people who went through that period of time, you know one thing is that they almost always had a really good work ethic because they didn't want to be poor. They knew what it was like to be dirt poor and to do without, and they didn't want that to happen again. My father was such a person, and his family, like a lot of families, went to California during the Dust Bowl, during the Great Depression, and they did the jobs that we're told today that Americans won't do. They were picking fruit and other kinds of crops, and that's how they put food on the table. And my father was the hardest working man I ever met. I'd never known anyone who ever worked harder than he did. And he told me that there was one particular orchard owner that was notorious for being really hard on his employees, and people didn't want to work for him. And that he said that he took it as a challenge. He was a young man, probably high school age at this point. So he took the job and he just worked his tail off, but he did the job and he got the pay. And all of his life, he was a hard-working person. As a matter of fact, even his hobbies involved work. He would always be in the garage building something. He figured, why would I want to buy something if I can build it myself? So he was always building stuff. Like he made a toolbox for the bed of his truck, I remember, that he made out of wood and fiberglass. He liked to work with fiberglass especially. He was an insulator by trade, so he had learned a lot of these skills on the job, but he knew how to make just about anything. Also, he decided to build himself a house in the mountains, the Sierra Nevada mountains, and for years, he would just, when he would be out in the desert, he would see stones, and he would say, well, that would look good on a fence, or that would look good on the side of my house. And so he probably took 20 years building this house, but that's what he did for fun on the weekends, was he worked on this house, and I got to see it when my oldest daughter was just a baby, and it was an amazing house, but you could tell it was designed by a man because it didn't have enough cabinet space. But he over-engineered just about everything. If a pipe needed to be, you know, an inch diameter, he would make it 2 inches. He wanted to make sure the house was going to last forever. Well, it's good to have that kind of a work ethic, but it's important that we also have that kind of a work ethic when it comes to our spiritual life. Because as we see in the parable, spiritual poverty is a lot worse than earthly poverty. And in the Old Testament, you have a lot written about not being lazy. And the obvious meaning of these passages is in terms of getting off your rear end and working to put food on the table, but there's a spiritual application also. And in Proverbs chapter 6, we hear King Solomon telling us about the ant and the bee. And mind you, this is coming from the Septuagint. There are some differences if you look this up in the King James, but we're going with the Septuagint text, as did Christ and the apostles. And he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and be zealous to consider its ways, and be wiser than it. For though it hath no farm, nor any to compel it, and is under no master, it prepareth its food in the summer, and maketh its provision abundant in the winter." And the fathers comment on this, and they say that Solomon used the image of an ant and then later a bee because he wanted to shame people by comparing them with tiny insects that don't have any intellect, and yet these people could teach us lessons in the virtues that we need to acquire. St. Augustine applies this directly to the spiritual life. He says, "See the ant of God. He rises day by day. He hastens to the church of God. He prays. He hears the readings. He chants hymns. He digests that which he has heard. With himself he thinks thereon. He stores within grains gathered from the threshing floor. They that providentially hear those very things which even now are being spoken of do thus, and by all men are seen to go forth to the church and go back from the church, to hear sermons, to hear readings, to choose a book, open it and read it. All of these things are seen when they are done. The ant is treading his path, carrying and storing up in the sight of men seeing him. But then he goes on to talk about what happens at wintertime. And the ant is prepared for the winter because he spends all the summer, when he's able to, gathering up food. But in the analogy that he makes, he talks about winter in terms of great personal trials, because when you're going through a crisis, you don't have time to go out there and gather up spiritual food that's going to edify you and get you through that. You need to have it already. And of course, there's the winter of death. And if you haven't prepared before that winter, you're going to be totally out of luck. Then it goes on to say, or go to the bee and learn how diligent she is and how earnestly she doeth her work, whose labor kings and commoners use for health. She also is desired by all and honored. Though she be weak in strength, she is advanced by honoring wisdom. And what the fathers say about this is that the bee gathers food not only for itself, but for others. And the bee provides its honey to both the great and the small. It talks about how both kings and commoners eat the honey of the bee. And so that's how a Christian is supposed to act. We're supposed to labor not just for ourselves and not just for our own families, but labor for everybody else. And to treat other people in the church the same, equally, without respect to their status in society. Also, a bee goes from flower to flower and gathers nectar, and then it produces the sweet food, honey. Well, St. Anthony the Great, we're told in his life, emulated the bee. He went from one spiritual elder to another, and he saw the virtues in each person. He didn't try to emulate their weaknesses, but he looked for virtues. What can I learn from this elder? And then he would try to imitate it. And then he would go to the next one, and he would do the same. St. Cyril of Jerusalem also talks about how we, like the bee, can gather spiritual nectar from reading the scriptures. If we're reading the scriptures on a regular basis, we're like a bee that's going through the meadow, and we find a flower here and we find a flower there. Well, in the scripture, there's all these spiritual flowers the Holy Spirit has put there for us, and there's nectar that we can drink from, and from that we can produce great spiritual fruit. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty comes upon thee as an evil traveler, or a highway robber is really what that's referring to, and want as a swift runner. But if thou be diligent, thine harvest shall arrive as a fountain, and poverty shall flee away as an evil runner. We can easily see the application of those words when it comes to providing earthly goods for our families, and it's important that we do that. In the Ten Commandments, we're told 6 days shalt thou labor, and then we're told we're to rest on the Sabbath, although that's a day we spend doing spiritual work, you could say. But one of the points of that commandment that's often overlooked is it's saying 6 days thou shalt labor. It's the idea that we should just be sitting around and not working is something that's contrary to Scripture. Even if you were born with a golden spoon in your mouth and you didn't have any needs because your family had left you with billions of dollars, you shouldn't say, I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm going to just party and have fun all the time. You should be laboring. That's what the scriptures are telling you to do. You should be laboring because you are a person with talents and capabilities, and you need to bless those around you in one way or another. And if you're a billionaire, that means you're free to do some things most people aren't able to do. But you should be working. You shouldn't just be sitting back and enjoying all this stuff. But this is also important in our spiritual life. We need to wake from our sleep and not be like the sluggard that's sitting there thinking, a little sleep, a little slumber, I'll take a little rest. And then what it says is that poverty will come upon you like a highway robber, and want is going to come on you like a swift runner, someone who's really adept at running, and you're just sitting there asleep, and then boom, this runner's upon you. This is a very serious spiritual problem that many of us have today because we have so many distractions. We have the ability to waste time like people never before. A lot of people probably used to read the Bible because they didn't have anything else to read. We've got so many forms of entertainment that we have to make ourselves read the scriptures, but we need to do it. And we need to also keep everything in balance and make sure that we're being productive, not just in terms of meeting the needs of our families and those around us, but in terms of meeting our own spiritual needs and being therefore capable of being a blessing to other people spiritually in the church. When we look at Lazarus, here was a man who was destitute. And we're not told exactly how he came to be destitute, but that's not the point of the parable. But we know, given where he ended up, that it wasn't because he was poor in the virtues or lacking in love for God. He was rich in those things. In spiritual terms, you could say that Lazarus was clothed in purple and fine linen and he fared sumptuously every day. He was a rich man spiritually. He had little material goods, but he spent his life like a spiritual ant storing up spiritual goods. And when the winter of death came, he began to reap the eternal rewards of his labors. The rich man, on the other hand, had every earthly thing. But given where he ended up, we can judge that the guy was destitute of virtue and love for God or man. He was a spiritual sluggard, and he took his ease in life, but death came upon him like a highway robber, and his spiritual poverty caught up with him like a swift runner. And when the winter of death came, he had nothing, and he is forever infinitely worse off than a beggar in the street that's starving to death. And so we need to imitate the ant and the bee and not allow ourselves to be spiritual sluggards like the rich man who lie about all day, unconcerned about our souls until it's too late. Instead, we need to be diligent, and if we do so, our eternal harvest will arrive like a fountain, and spiritual poverty will flee from us like an evil runner. Amen.